Volcanoes may give off several warning signs before an eruption, including small earthquakes beneath the volcano, subtle swelling of the ground surface, and increased emission of heat and gases from volcanic vents. While volcanologists who advise government officials regarding if or when evacuation plans are enacted take these precursors very seriously, these signs are no guarantee an eruption is imminent. That's why some people were concerned about the 5.7 magnitude earthquake that shook near Salt Lake City on March 18th, and a 6.5 magnitude earthquake in Idaho on March 31st. Naturally, people were wondering if these earthquakes were related with the Yellowstone caldera. So, should you be worried about a possible mega-colossal eruption of the Yellowstone supervolcano? Or, a better question is, should humanity be worried? Before we answer these questions, it's important to know the nature and history of volcanic eruptions. To better understand the rank of eruptions, scientists created the Volcanic Explosivity Index system to classify the magnitude or relative measures of the explosiveness of volcanic eruptions with a scale from 0 to 8. In the year 79 of the Common Era, Mount Vesuvius violently spewed a deadly cloud of superheated tephra to a height of 33 kilometers, ejecting molten rock, pulverized pumice, and hot ash at 1.5 million tons per second, ultimately releasing a 100,000 times the thermal energy of the Hiroshima-Nagasaki bombings. It buried the ancient city of Pompeii under 4 to 6 meters of ash. The eruption lasted for 2 days. The first phase was a pumice rain lasting around 18 hours. At some time in the night or early the next day, pyroclastic flows began near the volcano, consisting of a high-speed, dense and very hot ash clouds, knocking down all structures in their path, incinerating or suffocating the remaining population, and altering the landscape, including the coastline. By the evening of the second day, the eruption was over, leaving only a haze in the atmosphere. To get a better picture of what this eruption must have been like, we can look at the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens. Both volcanic eruptions have a Category 5 explosivity index, with more than a cubic kilometre ejector volume. The eruption of Mount St. Helens has often been declared as the most disastrous volcanic eruption in US history. The volcanic plume rose 24 kilometres into the atmosphere and deposited ash in 11 US states and even in 2 Canadian provinces. Approximately 57 people died, and it caused about $1.1 billion of property damage. What might be worse than a level 5 volcanic eruption, you might ask? A level 6. The 1883 eruption of Krakatoa in Indonesia was one of the deadliest and most destructive volcanic events in recorded history. The explosions were so violent that they were heard as far away as 3,110 kilometres in Western Australia. At least 36,417 deaths are attributed to the eruption and the 30-metre-high tsunamis it created. During the full-scale eruption, 70% of the island of Krakatoa was destroyed as it collapsed into the caldera, releasing more than 20 million tonnes of sulphur. As if this was not bad enough, in 1927, Anak Krakatoa, meaning Child of Krakatoa, emerged from the caldera. In the late 2018 eruption, it caused a deadly tsunami, with waves up to 5 metres making landfall, killing 437 people. The 1815 eruption of Mount Tambora was the most powerful in human recorded history, with a volcanic explosivity index of 7. Its impact was so great that volcanic ash obscuring the sun reduced global temperatures, and the year 1816 was known as the Year Without a Summer, as snow fell even in June in places like New York. But even a level 7 eruption is relatively small compared to a level 8 mega-colossal eruptions of supervolcanoes. The Volcanic Explosivity Index, besides the first two levels, is a logarithmic scale, meaning each level of eruption is at least 10 times more powerful than the previous one. The Yellowstone supervolcano, located in Yellowstone National Park, in the western United States, is a level 8 example. The caldera formed during the last of three super eruptions over the past 2.1 million years. The Huckleberry Ridge eruption, 2.1 million years ago, which created the Island Park caldera, and the Huckleberry Ridge Tuff. The Mesa Falls eruption 1.3 million years ago, which created the Henry Fork caldera and the Mesa Falls tuff, and the Lava Creek eruption approximately 640,000 years ago, which created the Yellowstone caldera and the Lava Creek tuff. If the Yellowstone supervolcano was going to erupt tomorrow, it would release more than 2 billion tons of sulfur into the atmosphere, and more than 1,000 cubic kilometres of rock and volcanic ash into the sky. Large parts of Idaho, Montana and Wyoming would be buried in 1 metre of volcanic ash. Besides killing countless thousands of lives, in the immediate aftermath of the eruption, it would create the largest refugee crisis in human history. And the reduction in global temperatures due to volcanic ash and droplets of sulfuric acid and water obscuring the sun would cause a volcanic winter lasting over a decade, which would cause crop failures everywhere, resulting in extremely large famines. Millions, if not billions, would starve to death. But is there any evidence that a super eruption is imminent in our lifetime? According to Mike Poland, the scientist in charge at Yellowstone Volcano Observatory, the recent earthquakes in Utah and Idaho are not related with Yellowstone. The earthquakes are rather related to mountain building processes or tectonic extensions in the western United States. Also, the analysis of earthquake data in 2013 showed the magma chamber beneath Yellowstone is 80 kilometers long and 20 kilometers wide. It also has 4,000 cubic kilometers underground volume, of which 6-8% is filled with molten rock. This is about 2.5 times bigger than scientists had previously imagined it to be. However, scientists believe that the proportion of molten rock in the chamber is much too low to allow another super eruption.